Thank you so much, Ethan. Hopefully at the end of the service, it'll be as enthusiastic an applause because of what you learn today in this term. I'm offering, first time ever, and maybe the last time ever, a money-back guarantee that this term will change your life. So everything you pay to be here, you've all paid your membership dues, the 10,000 cash rands per month. So that money, oh, you didn't know about that if you knew. Sorry, they forgot to tell you. This term, this experience, I want to tell you a secret. I didn't even tell the first service this, but there's a college football team in North America at Notre Dame that have gone from average to off the charts, absolutely incredible, because this young lady, a performance psychologist, came and messed with their minds and taught them how to think differently, and they are off the charts hectic. We'll post some links to some of their games and their results. This is a series where the Bible's going to inform us, where brain science is going to come together. And today we're going to kick it off with just a brief introduction with some great exercises. We're going to then explore 8 building blocks of peak performance living and being and thinking that is going to lead you to greatness, levels that you've never yet experienced. We're not going to recognize you next term. We are going to just say, whoa. Encounter Youth is next level. Who's up for that? I'm up for that. I know it's a Sunday, but I'm up for that. One of the building blocks is awareness. The next building block in the following week we're going to look at is motivation. If you're not motivated, you ain't going to win. The next one is confidence. When I show up, how do I show up? The next week is going to be about managing our intensity. We're then going to turn our attention to controlling our attention, our focus. We're then going to have a Sanctuary Sunday for those of us not at Lead the Cause, which is a gospel training event. Next Sunday, we're going to have sign-up sheets. We're going to commute by bus to there on Friday night, drop you back so you can sleep at home. All day Saturday, you can sleep at home. All day Sunday, and we'll be done. It is going to be life-changing. It's called Lead the Cause. It is literally going to be lions everywhere roaring in 4 ways. We're going to be hosted in a mall, so it's going to be next level amazing. But that's just an interruption because we still have a few more building blocks after that. How do we manage our emotions? Who's ever found their emotions have let them down and have caused havoc? Yeah. Who's ever done something too quick in the heat of the moment and it's backfired on you? Yeah. Katlego, I see that hand. You need counseling afterwards. I'll see you in the boardroom. And rehearsal. How do we rehearse what's coming? How do we also set up routines in our lives? 8 incredible building blocks, and today is an introduction. So I want you to grab the seatbelt. Click it into gear. I want you to take the helmet, put it on your head, because this is going to be an incredible ride. Are you ready for this? You can see I'm ready, right? I'm ready for this, and yes. So, at your table, on the one side, it's effectively the side that's been placed face down, is a chance for you to write down 10 things that you hate about yourself or your life. Go. Only that front page. Don't turn it over. 10 things you hate about your life. Okay, I want you to turn that piece of paper over. And on the next side, I want you to write down 10 things that you love about your life. Go. Pause. I want you to open up that piece, put it in front of you. Again, don't look at anyone else's paper. And I want the leader at your table is going to facilitate this question. Which did you find harder or easier to do? Listing negative things or positive things? They'll lead you in some interaction. Who found it easier to list negative things? Anyone? A couple people? who found it easier to list positive things. It's quite a mix, right? Here's my question for you. Does it matter? Does it matter what I think about myself? Does it influence who I am? You're right, because thoughts don't matter. Thoughts are not real things. Thoughts are not things that influence our lives. It's only the physical action I do that changes my life. Thoughts are irrelevant. They're just little things that float around in your head, and they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. They're actually like clouds. So don't ever let anyone tell you that thoughts matter, except me this morning. I want to tell you that thoughts matter. That the things that we think fundamentally change us, shape us, control us, direct us, lead us, hold us back, or propel us forward. Because brain science teaches us, and you're going to hear a lot of neuroscience babble this term, because it's critical what scientists of the brain are finding out about our brain. The more we think a certain thought, the more it becomes a real thing in our brain that can actually show up on a kind of an x-ray or scan. It becomes a dark mass matter. It's actually protein that forms on our brain, as you can see happening there. It's very small, but it's very powerful. It's kind of like a hard drive. Every single thing, every single Facebook post or Instagram post or any social media post you make is not inconsequential. It might come back to bite you one day in 15 years' time when you go for a job and some prospective manager starts scrolling down to the bottom of your feed when you joined in 2012. And he says, I don't think I want that person working for me. Our thoughts matter. Our thoughts become protein patterns in our brain, and they don't go away. It's a lot easier to have them than to regulate them and to get them out of our minds. Another reason why thoughts matter, because our thoughts affect our emotions. How I'm thinking, influences how I'm feeling, and that in turn influences the action I take. If my thought is, I can't do the speech, there's no ways I can stand up and speak in class, what is the emotion I'm going to start feeling? Stress, fear, apprehensive. Suddenly I've got physical manifestations like a sweatiness, a hesitation in my speech. So when the time comes for the teacher to say, it's your turn, I'm like, oh, I can't do this. You know, it used to manifest with me in high school. I used to laugh every time I had to read. And it wasn't because the content was funny. It was a nervous reaction. There was a young girl here Friday night, Tiffany. She's not shy. She arrived at our house with Tammy to get a lift here. She was all over, bouncing around our house. She got onto stage. The moment the microphone came near her to introduce herself, it was like, the microphone away. And it's normal. And it's something we have to overcome. It's what I think affects what I feel, affects what I actually then can or can't do, or at the very least, how I do it. Who's in control of that process? You are. Don't blame the devil that you can't show up and do something. He can mess with us. I'm not downplaying that. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. No wonder the Bible says, and this is another affirmation that thoughts matter, that we need to take some thoughts captive. Oh, hold on. I might have misrepresented the scripture there. Take how many thoughts? Do you know what the word every means there? It means in modern language, every. What thought is not an every thought? None, zero, zilch. Every single thought. I need to take every thought captive. I need every thought to be working for me and not against me. Some I have to let go of. Some I need to put in. So here's a question. What I listen to, does that matter? No, it's just the cloud of music bouncing around in my mind and it's going to be gone. Is it? Is it thoughts? Is it words? Is it lyrics? The things that I let other people say about me, things that I hear myself saying about me, thoughts matter. Here is the most scary statistic I've ever heard in my life, but the most exciting if we can understand the benefit of this. According to Dr. Caroline Leaf, between 75 and 98% of physical and behavioral illness comes from our thought life. Doesn't mean you can't catch the flu from someone coughing on you. But most illnesses, most modern conditions start here. Oh, hold on. That's scary, but that's not. That's very positive. It means I can stop things happening by changing the way I think. No wonder Romans 12 starts by saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, which is holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is for your life. I often hear people say, I wish I knew God's will for my life. Well, it seems like one of the ways to do that is to allow our minds to be transformed, or in a newer translation, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God is concerned about how I think. Otherwise, I'm going to be forced into the mold of this world. The world's going to shape me. But the Word can shape me. My thoughts, God's thoughts, good music can shape me. So we are about rewiring our brain, renewing the mind. We can renew our thinking and be transformed through it. The transformation that has been seen because of neuroscience's impact on medicine is massive. And we are just starting to comprehend what that means. Now, obviously, because I work out in a gym, I have got these massive muscles. I can't even pull my muscles because they get so big that in the car, I've had my window smash. Because I've been to the gyms, well, I haven't been yet. I'm going to go for a free one next week. And then I'm going to have big muscles, right? Maybe not next week, maybe in a year's time, maybe. But those of you guys who have worked out a bit, you know that muscle can build so that the skinny guy like me can be transformed into the Hulk. Okay, it does take 2 months, so it's a lot of hard work. Do me, I don't know how you got those muscles, but that wasn't a week. Okay? It takes working out. Well, guess what? The brain is a muscle. And when I keep feeding it a positive thought, it builds and grows strong. When I keep building it a negative thought, that area grows strong to my detriment. But if I stop feeding it that, just like if I stop gymming, those muscles go away and I'm back to ordinary old me. What do you want to be? Do you want to be the person that's packing and strong and fit in the mind, or do you want to be the person that's not? So we need to replace negative thoughts with positive. I want you to lean into the table, choose the elastic band of your color and your size. So whatever your favorite color is, grab one, put it on your hand, either hand. Here's the first of two exercises that you're going to do this week. I want you to stretch it. Oh, firstly, what is the worst subject that you're doing this term? Think about that. Do you have any hope of getting an A in that subject? Be honest and realistic. The answer is no. It's the worst. Okay, I want you, because you've just had a negative thought, to pull that elastic and let it go. Ow, right? Painful, right? I want you to wear this elastic in the week. When you have a negative thought, if you're at school and you're not allowed to wear it, I want you to flick yourself. When you have a negative thought, we want you to eliminate negative thinking. Now, I'm not saying that you must never be realistic. If someone's sad, I don't want you to think, oh, happy thoughts. I think there's a place for realism, but when you catch yourself thinking negatively, pessimistically, I can't, I never will, no because. If you ever say no because instead of yes and, then I want you to pull that elastic. Are you up for it? You're going to get red. You're going to get sore. But I tell you what, it's going to change the way you think. You up for that? I want you to look to the person next to you and ask them, are you going to practice removing negative thoughts? Have they committed to do that? Tell them next week when we start the service, we are going to check in and ask each other about this. We literally are. You got it? Whatever you can do to stop thinking negatively. The one time I had a huge pile of documents that I had to staple for youth. I think it was a Friday afternoon, and it was for Friday night. I was putting, like, it was the chess night. And every one of the chess pieces had to have a string on it, had to be stapled. You remember the chess night at youth, giant chess? And I looked at this pile of stuff that had to be done for all the games, and I actually said to myself, Mark, you won't do this. You can't do this in time. And I caught myself, fortunately, in that moment, and I said, stop. You can do this. You will do this. And guess what? I did it. Got a bit of help from Debbie. Always helps to pull in the big guns. And voila, we had chestnut. You can do it. So the first teaching today, the first truth that you need to take away, there's just two today, is that thoughts matter. They're not clouds. They're not candy floss. They do matter. They influence us. Why? Well, protein patterns. You can actually take a snapshot. I'll open your head next week, one of you, and I will use my phone and take a photo, okay, to see what the thoughts are looking like. But you have to volunteer for this, and please get parental. And can someone bring a knife? Secondly, not only do thoughts matter, but they build mindsets. Anyone ever heard people talking about mindsets? What's your mindset? The word worldview is, it's kind of not that. But my thoughts, and we'll unpack what that means. Do you remember when you learned to ride a bicycle for the first time? How many of you fell the first time or early times? Skateboard. Who's ever skateboarded? I will show you my knees sometime when I'm not wearing long pants. I have the worst scars possible because I grew up on the bluff. I'm rough and tough on the bluff. I don't smoke the stuff, but I don't take no gruff. And I tell you what, I lost my skin. Mostly, I lost my skin when I was showing off. One time, I was visiting someone next to Debbie's house, and I saw Debbie with her long black hair, and I went down the young lady's driveway watching Debbie doing flick-flacks, doing a radical re-entry. Next minute, I had no skin on my lower body. And I still have the scars on my knees to prove it. But I tell you what, after some of the early days and learning to control my pride and boastfulness, I actually stopped falling. Same when you learn to ride a bicycle, a car. When I get into my car, I don't even think about it. I don't even look where the keyhole is. My hand just instinctively goes. I get to the church and I thought, oh, I hope I change gears. Because not once, I guarantee you, and this is going to be hard when you learn to drive a car, because at first it's like scary, right? But eventually, it's autopilot. Remember the first time you said, what is 8 times 8? You were like, 954. And your teacher said, no, Mark, it's not 954. You remember? It's 666. I'm going to go back and do some more maths. Eventually, you just throw it out, right? Because you get better at it. It goes into autopilot. You develop a mindset, and your brain takes over. Stuff goes from the conscious part of your mind into the subconscious, which is incredibly powerful and good if it's a good pattern, a good mindset. But what if it's a negative? What if I see someone, and every time I see them, I get negative and nervous and intimidated? It's a negative thing. And then I'm going to have to recreate the mindset. So every time I think a thought, it sends an electrical signal through my brain. Serious. Next time you have a thought, it's more for math. But for any thought you have, there's an electrical signal. And what happens when that signal is repeated? It builds this protein pattern that wires together and stays in my brain forever. So here's a mindset. Mindset is a patterned way of thinking about a situation or a circumstance I find myself in that then influences my reaction or my ability to engage in that situation. So what I do is almost out of my control if I let the mindset just guide me. And that can be a good thing if my mindset is to think positive, to speak up for Jesus, to choose, you know, life and holiness, because there's life and death before us and we can choose. But what if that mindset, that patterned way of thinking needs to be changed? And that's what this term is all about, because thoughts become patterns. So the brain initiates everything, okay? Everything. It is the thing. Everything I'm going to do one day is going to start in my brain. And so I need to know what's going on there. Here's an example. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Psalm 119 says, by living according to your word. In other words, God's thoughts, right? God's words, God's thoughts, God's ideas. Not those that I get from false sources. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Not this pumper thing that controls the blood. It's the mind. It's the seat of our emotions. It's that inner part of our being. And it comes out of the mind. It all starts in the mind. So here's the goal for this term. To build championship mindsets. Patterns of thinking to help us perform like champions in every single area of our lives. It's no good being a champion in just one area and being a failure in every other area. It's to be a champion in every area of our lives. Do you want this? Do you want a brain that when it's in a positive state, it thinks more clearly, it thinks more creatively, and it problem solves better? Who doesn't want that? Who wants a brain that is fuzzy? Who wants a brain that is clouded and misunderstood, that's got no creative ideas? Who wants a brain that can't get you out of a problem? Nobody. No one. Do you want your brain to function at its peak? Well, here's the word again. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let my words out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one whole body. These words from God, these positive things we think, they will bring life to our body. And above all else, guard your heart. Remember, this is the same thing we talk about, the mind, the seat of our affections and our emotions. Guard it, for everything you do flows from it. Okay, here's the next practice that you're going to do every single night this week, built into the daily devotions that I'd mention that briefly. On that piece of paper, I want you to do the 3-2-1 exercise that you're going to do at 8 o'clock each night this week. Right? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to write down 3 things that went well today. Now, this day's too short. Why don't you use yesterday as an example? What are 3 things that went well yesterday? Secondly, write down 2 things that you could do better tomorrow. In other words, what have I learned about myself? Notice I'm critiquing my day, but it's a positive spin. What 2 things can I do better? Lastly, what 1 thing did I learn about myself from yesterday? So you can see the power of this at the end of each day. Okay? Go. You can see as you keep writing, or as obviously you're practicing, that it doesn't take a long time. I'd encourage you to write it down or type it on your phone. Of course, you can just think it, but there's quite a power in writing it and seeing it. We're going to ask you to do it each week. Each day of the week, maybe even do it at the end of the week. What 3 things did I learn, you know, or do well this week? What 2 could I do better next week? What 1 thing did I learn about myself from this week? You could do it once a month or every year. It starts to rewire the brain. It makes the brain start thinking and looking back at your day and your life from a positive vantage point. So this exercise, and you're going to keep doing it throughout this term, but primarily this week as a start. And when we start next week, you'll have an opportunity to share with those around your table as we start. I'm going to budget some time for that with whoever is facilitating, so that you can actually share about how it went. What did you learn about yourself? So maybe say to the person next to you, if I commit to do this week, every day, will you go? Tell them to thumbs up if they yes, thumbs down if they not. Here's the biggest challenge. When we learn something new, we often forget to do it, don't we? It's not that we mean or we don't care, but sometimes we find ourselves, it's already Wednesday and I haven't had my devotion with Jesus. What if, let's just pretend, the ideal world, okay? This is coming soon to the Wakanda near you. What if you could get an alert every day between 7 and 8 that says to you, hey, Emmanuel, it's time to do your devotions. It's time to practice so that you can be a champion and experience true greatness. Wouldn't that be unbelievable, Emmanuel? That would like be next level. Guess what? Unveiling this week, if your name is on the WhatsApp group, there's a sheet on the wall. Ash is going to find one more page if there is any, even the Friday one. I think it's down below your computer there. And we want your number on that, and we will send you out the devotions. If you don't, so it's Daily Devotions by Joyce Meyer and our very own Grace, co-written and tweaked according to our use, reminding you of the practices, giving you something to read and reflect on every day. If, horror of horrors, you're in one of the five tribes that has no airtime, no data, here's what we can do. On your way out, there's all five devotions in a printed document. So if you know your parents have taken your phone away, you're grounded, or a gremlin jumped on your house last night and ate the phone, then yeah, and it's not going to eat up your data because we don't send big pictures and stuff, right? So that's this week. Do the brain exercises. Each week there's going to be exercises. They're going to get more and more transformative. Who's up for this? I am. Aha. Who's up for this? Aha. Who's up for this? Aha. Who's up? Okay, there we go. There we go. We're going to pray. Father, would you help us this week to be transformed through the renewing of our minds? May we look back in 7 days' time and say, wow, I'm thinking different. I'm thinking new positive. I'm thinking your thoughts. I'm thinking in a way that is amazing. And God, I pray that you will do something in this series that will revolutionize who we are, because our thinking changes, our emotions change, and our actions change. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, as we wrap up, next week is going to be all about awareness. I'm going to ask Ethan if he would come forward and demonstrate something that he's learned in wrestling. Because when an MMA guy was at youth some months ago, he taught us that the number one skill for mixed martial arts is not being able to punch. It was this word, awareness. Is this true in wrestling, and how is it so?
In wrestling, the stance is like this, and you have the guy in front of you. And there's lots of factors. You have to watch his feet, his arms, where you are in the arena. And if you don't watch one thing, you could lose. Like, if you watch his legs, but you don't watch his arms, you could be thrown. If you watch his arms, but you don't watch his legs, he could tackle you. And there's a lot of things that you have to watch. So you should come.
Awesome. Awareness matters. We will learn about that with our facilitators next week. God bless you. Have an epic Encounter Youth Week. Use those brains well.